I'm on a mission to help high flyers just like yourself, who until now have let the fear of public speaking hold them back from making a bigger impact. Join me as I find out the secret sauce from the world's leading speakers to make your speeches more interesting, enjoyable to give, and impactful for your audience. That's the mission, and this podcast will get you there. My name's Victor Ahipeni, and this is the Public Speaking Secrets Podcast.
Speaker Nation, what's happening? Welcome to another episode of Public Speaking Secrets. I'm your host, Victor Ahipeni, and today we've got a high-energy theatrical superstar, Ariane, and she is going to delve into kind of the theatrical side, which I've got some cool questions, or hopefully they're cool. I've got some questions that are on my mind in regards to the theatrical side when it comes to public speaking, and then we're going to have a look at maybe the storytelling and the TED space as well if we've got time. So welcome to the show.
Yeah, thank you very much. I'm very excited. Thank you for the invitation.
So you've got 20 years of the theatrical side of things, helping people in the public speaking space as well. What I want to kind of delve into first is, I talked to lots of different speakers and speaker coaches, and everyone's got their own opinion on where things sit, what matters the most. Is it the content that you deliver? Is it how you deliver it from the vocal standpoint or the theatrical delivery? There's all these little different facets. In regards, so people get an idea, where do you sit in that space? Yeah, I know there's the magical thing of you have awesome content with a great voice and you put on a performance for people, but how do you feel the theatrical side of it fits into all of it?
So what I do is, as definitely how you say something is more important than what you're saying, because I can say something in a very rude way, and if I say it in a very nice way, people will get it, will accept it or understand it in a different way. So I am for this, how you say it is more important than what you say. But what I do is everything in one. I am a dark fantasy author, so I have the storytelling background. I am an actress and a theater director, and I am pretty good at understanding people's brands. That's why I called myself the branding director. So theater is nothing more than helping the speakers with acting hacks to deliver better. It's about to go inside of themselves, and how to tell a story is how are you emotionally attached to something. It's the way you give it. So I work with method acting, and of course I tell people the posture, take care of your posture, take care of your voice. I, as an actress, find it very, very important that you work on your voice.
Yeah.
Because that's what you speak using. What? Sign language?
Exactly.
I mean, no, we're not all deaf. We don't all need sign language to communicate. And I am also very pro-health.
Yeah.
If you are a speaker and you use your voice to earn your money with it, if you are speaking every day or off on a stage, take care of your voice, because it's gonna hurt. You're gonna hurt yourself eventually. So this is something that I really try to tell people.
And so before we dive back into the theatrical side of things, vocal health, that's easy to say. I mean, it's like saying be healthy with your body, and is it high fat? Is it this? Is it that? Is it whatever? I guess the vocal health side of things is probably a new thing for a lot of people listening. They've gone, I don't necessarily wake up and start trying to be from The Sound of Music or something like that.
Yeah, you don't have to.
So what would your hacks or your tips be for people who are looking to dip their foot into looking after their voice a little bit more?
So when you are on stage, even if you have a mic, the way you send your voice is important. The more powerful your voice, the more powerful your presence and your message is. So start by learning how to identify your diaphragm, how to breathe from your diaphragm. This is the organ that actually helps you put your voice where it was supposed to be. We don't use our voices the way we are supposed to use our voices. Our voices land on the throat or on the chest mostly. We all speak too high. So I always say, you don't have to exercise every day. You don't, and you shouldn't, because you're going to hurt your vocal cords if you stress them too much. I always say 2 to 3 times a week, 10 minutes exercises, it's enough. So you learn how to breathe, and then you exercise your mouth to bring the voice to the front, and you exercise your vocal cords to let them, to make them stronger, and to be able to play a little bit with your voice, because that makes everything a little bit more colorful.
Yeah. And that's, I mean, I've heard some from some different people, like Roger Love. He talks about your chest voice, your middle voice, and your head voice. And yeah, he works with a lot of speakers, but he also works with, you know, the world's kind of best singers and things like that. And he said, once they learn to activate those three different areas, because a lot of them just go head to chest and they miss this gap in between, and then he obviously has worked at that highest level with the singers, and says once they unlock it, their whole music range completely changes. And I mean, it's exactly the same for us as speakers, is if we're not there's so many interesting things, like you whisper and you think that's easier on your voice, but it actually dries out your vocal cords, and then you're
really hard. It's really tough. It can hurt your vocal cords really, really bad.
So if we flick back into the theatrical side of things, you talked about acting hacks for speakers. What does that kind of look like from we'll take this down a keynote presenter path. So someone who's more into the keynote presentations, I know it's pretty applicable for all types of talks, but that person who's up there, they've had that opportunity to be that keynote presenter, what sort of things should they start off looking at if they're looking to put that keynote presentation together from a theatre side of things?
So what I say is, I see from experience and from observation that many speakers, even some that have quite of experience, they talk to an audience. I sit there and I hear that they are talking to strangers. And this doesn't get to me as an audience, as a listener. I don't have the feeling they are talking to me. So I tell many, especially I coach for TEDx events officially from the inside. And I tell TEDx speakers, because this is the TED thing. And I always say, it's nothing special. I really think every presentation and talk should be like that.
Yeah.
Really, that's the goal. What do you think it's the key? If you, while you are rehearsing people, I'm sorry, I know many people don't like to hear that, but rehearse your talks. While you are rehearsing, imagine friendly faces. Imagine something you would like to tell this to, because if you're addressing this to friends, to people that you love, you automatically change your delivery. And I am that I'm sitting here, I'm gonna feel connected to you because you are changing. It's a very typical acting trick. You think it's your thoughts. Everything you imagine is real. Let's say Pablo Picasso.
I find it really often, I mean, when you get the kind of the crossroads of acting and speaking, is obviously there's a lot more memorization often in the acting side of things, and you come across, well, yeah, if you're on stage, you've got a script that you're following. I mean, I know TEDx events can be the same as well, but I mean, if you're giving a 90 minute keynote presentation, you're going off ideally more of a guideline than trying to memorize that 90 minutes. And I think where I see a lot of people, I'd be interested in your opinion, is when they do try and memorize a speech, you know, when they're writing it down, that the horribleness of, they're trying to switch on two areas of their brain. They're trying to be like, yes, how can I act this out? And how can I remember all the words? And then, you know, they freeze and then everything disappears. And, you know, the words are disappeared and they're just like a deer in headlights. But it's, so, I mean, I'd like to know what your thoughts on that. And then B, I guess, what are the strategies that people can start looking natural with their, I guess, their movements on stage and things like that, you know, hand movements, because you see people when they're having that cafe conversation, whereas they should be having that, you know, Italian mum telling off her kids conversation when they're on stage. And so a couple of questions there, and I'd just love to get your insight with it.
Yeah, absolutely. With the memorizing thing, people make it too complicated. It doesn't have to be that complicated. As I said, I work a lot with TEDx speakers, and it's a TED thing that you memorize your talk, because TED wants to know exactly what are you going to say, because TED has a lot of rules.
Yeah.
You're not supposed to be religious, you're not supposed to be political, you're not supposed to do this and that. And so they will upload your talk. You need to follow the script that you sent them. So this is the background. What I always say is, the first thing is what you said, is the writing. If you really do have to memorize something, you write for a speaker. You write for listeners and not for readers. This is the first mistake everybody does. We write too complicated because when we start writing for people that are going to read us. But that's not the case. People are going to listen to us. So I always say you write, either you write or you record it on the cell phone.
Yeah.
And you just speak it out, or you write it and you wrote, I don't know, a paragraph to then read it out loud.
Mm.
Respect your body. Does your mouth like these words? Mostly your mouth is going to tell you that this is not right.
Yeah.
This is not how you talk. This is a word that you would never use in a conversation, if it's formal or not. So this is something that everybody, please take care of.
Yeah.
You write for listeners. So you read it out loud, see if you really, if it's flowing the way you were supposed to. If it's not, delete. The delete button is your best friend.
Yeah.
Second part is learn how to read it. There is a system to learn how to read. For example, most people, when they have a period on the sentence, we all go down with the voice. Yeah. And we go down with the voice. And we forget to put the meaning into these words. So this is the important part. Learn how to read. This is a very, very typical acting hack. Once you learn how to read, you have the right I hate the word intonation, but you have the right intonation for it. And the whole memorizing thing is not as complicated as we think. Forget the words. Every single word is not that important. Important is that you get across the message that you want to get across. One tip from me is never learn your text doing the same thing. For example, I'm sitting here, I have my text in my hand, and I'm memorizing it. You won't even realize that you are doing something like touching your hair or, I don't know, touching a pen or something. And your body is learning to attach that text to the things that you're doing. Once you get on stage and you're doing something else, you forget the text.
Mm.
So to help your text to get into your long-term memory, so you will know what you're saying, you won't forget it, or you won't care if you forget it, do different things. So you have your text a little bit, you learned it a little bit, and then start doing different things. The dishes, laundry, going for a walk, doing every time different things, because your body is going to learn much faster than your mind, and it's going to trick you every time. If you don't make that gesture that the body's waiting for, you're going to forget what you're saying. Yeah. So don't give your body that chance.
It's awesome points, and you know, from personal experience, I spoke at a TEDx event, and it was so interesting afterwards catching up. I flew in for the event, and so I hadn't been to the live rehearsals or anything like that.
Oh, yeah.
But there was two of us who had, and it was just really interesting chatting afterwards, because both of us never memorize if we're giving talks, and you know, obviously we had to go through the TED process and give them a transcript, and then you know, you have to be like this in rehearsal, otherwise we'll cut you off the list and all those cool things. And it was just it was a great learning curve. It was just so interesting, because obviously they've got a brand to protect and they want quality, they want to know that, what you know, because there was one guy that they should have cut from our event the day before, and they had to basically put him on a chair so he's sitting like a fireside talk so he could hold a book, because he couldn't memorize. He was a lecturer and he'd lecture every day, but he hadn't put the effort in. And a few of us were just talking how much more difficult it is when you are going, I mean, obviously those hacks are perfect and we all go through them, but just that exponentially harder to act, you know, rather than that developing that natural presentation style in between it, which was, you know, one lady being like, oh, yeah, I spoke to 5,000 people last week and this was, you know, 500 people. And she's like, this was exponentially harder because, you know, both of them, you know what you're talking about. But she said, I had 90 minutes. Ted, I had 18 to convey not the same message, but a similar message. So, yeah, it's about being concise and, yeah, everything.
But it's 18 minutes, the 18 minutes are very challenging. You really need to get your message across in this small period of time, a short period of time. But what I see is the thing with the acting is acting, it's becoming.
Yeah.
So if you are pretending, if you have to do something, you're not acting. I like to say that 89% of everybody doesn't know what actors do, and the other 11% are actors.
Yeah.
And that is of course not a real statistic, but it's sort of true, because we consume actors' work every day, but we don't really know how they do that.
Yeah.
And we think that is pretending. We think we're playing other people, but it's not. It's to get you to know yourself and how to find yourself inside of these situations. So that's why it's suitable for speakers, and that's how I work with my speakers. The speakers I work with have presentations, the majority. It's not a talk like TED. Yeah. They have their slides and they are talking about the businesses. These are my clients. What I do is to go inside of their heads and help them be more natural and have more fun while being professional. And that's what acting does.
Yeah. With the, and I want to make sure we delve on this, because you've obviously, having worked with a lot of TED speakers, and a lot of it comes down to the ability to tell an effective story in that. Like, you know, you're going to struggle to find too many talks that have had a big impact that don't have a good story behind them. When it comes to storytelling, what do you think the key components that people should be looking at when they are crafting a story to their audience, or either that, or what do you think the biggest mistakes that you see people doing when they're trying to craft a story for any type of presentation?
The biggest mistake that I see is that people mix story with facts.
Yeah.
A factoid, a fact, something that happened to me, it's not a story.
Mm.
A story has a structure. A story has a beginning, it has a middle, it has a climax, it has conflict, and it has a message. So it needs to have that structure. And of course, every single fact that we've lived in our lives can become a story, but it needs to be structured. So I see a lot of people calling themselves storyteller, and when I watch the videos, it's not a story, it's a fact.
Mm.
So this is something that it's not happening a lot. I work from the acting perspective, and I have my own system of creating presentations with my students, with my clients, And I always say, add some other senses to it. Because on theater, everything you do, you need to verbalize because people cannot see what happened before. They cannot see what happens outside of this house where the play is happening right now. So you need to verbalize everything. That's what I do. We analyze the story and we put senses to it. That's where observation comes. This is an acting hack. You learn how to observe your body, to observe how you feel when you listen, when you hear a no, for example. When you're angry, how does your body feel? So we verbalize some things like that to activate the imaginations in the audience in a stronger way.
Yep. I could feel the heart beating out of my chest, yeah, as I walked up to it, or yeah, my hand started to clam up, or yeah, I could feel the sunshine on the back of my neck. And those are the things that people can, like, I mean, you've probably heard the saying that, yeah, facts tell and stories sell. And it doesn't matter what kind of presentation you're giving, you're trying to sell a message, whether it's you're trying to get a credit card at the end of it, or you're trying to create a movement. It's that facts, you know, people get bored with facts because you're just telling them and no one likes being told what to do. And
yeah.
But yeah, if you can sell the idea and make people relate to you, I think it's, yeah, it's awesome. And I love the way that you've described it as, you know, bringing in the senses into that story, because I think it's, once you do that, you can, like you say, you can say less, say more in your story, but actually say less in your overall talk. And it's going to be way more impactful. It's going to be
way more impactful, because it's something we really can create this in people's minds. If I tell you now not to think of a pink elephant, it's the first thing that comes to your mind.
Yeah.
So this is how I tell people, verbalize senses, verbalize the atmosphere. Why not? How does the air feel? Bring people inside of your story, like the old storytellers, the fairy tale storytellers. We can put this inside of your business message in the stories of your everyday. Why not? It can be beautiful. It can be poetical. It's not because it's a regular day that it can be poetical and full of message.
That's it. And that's, I mean, I think that's the key is, I mean, I hate it, and I'm sure you do, when you go somewhere and you see someone who's an expert in their particular area and they get up on stage and they just drown you with information. They use it as a audible autobiography of themselves and how great they are, and they don't tell a single story. They just they tell you this and that and something or other else, and you're like, oh my god, you've got so much knowledge that no one's gonna
really, seriously.
Yeah, and I mean that's the thing that I think it's the key component of everything, is if you can craft and create a story, you're going to be able to control that narrative. You're going to be able to control that, like you say, the pink elephant. You know, you get to control the narrative of getting people's minds doing what they're going to do, instead of them filling in the gaps and switching off and pulling out their phone and anything like that.
And it's a fun experience. It's an experience for everybody.
Yeah.
For you that you're telling, and for people there and able to imagine things and get a little away from today and what happened yesterday and from the everyday life. That's what TV shows and movies and novels and theater plays do for us. Why can't a speaker do the same? At the end of the day, people with whom you connect better are the people you want to work with.
Yeah.
So it doesn't matter. If you're your business, if you're giving a TED talk.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's a brilliant place to not drown everyone in too much information, because if you can take those, the theatrical side of it into your talks and craft it in with a good story, you're going to be so far ahead of most speakers that are going to step foot on stage. Obviously you can start working on your vocals and things like that, but if you, I mean, I think those two insights and obviously the tips that you gave off them are going to be hugely powerful for everyone out there listening. So yeah, I challenge everyone out there to start implementing those two things, looking at how you can, you know, naturally, yeah, put on a performance within your talks and how you can craft those stories and bring the senses into them, because it'll be super powerful. So I want to thank you a lot for that. But if people want to find out more about you, get in touch, where can they go and what can they do?
Oh, I'm pretty much everywhere. You can find me on Instagram at The Branding Director. You find me there. You can connect, send me a friendship request on Facebook, Ariana DeMello. You can't miss it. You've never seen it. It's written public speaking through acting, and my Facebook page. I'm pretty much everywhere.
Cool. So we'll link all of that at publicspeakingblueprint.com. And I appreciate you so much for this. And hopefully we'll connect on another episode, or even better, in real life. And then we'll go from there. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
If you want to fast track your confidence and impact with public speaking, then be sure to jump over to publicspeakingblueprint.com, where there's an array of free resources to help you no matter where you are on your journey to becoming a more powerful speaker. And while you're at it, jump over to Facebook and join our free community called Speaker Nation, where there's a ton of other like-minded individuals just like yourself looking to level up. Thanks for listening, and be sure to subscribe so you don't miss next week's episode.